was a preacher named Peter Marshall who served the United States Senate as chaplain back years ago. He wrote a short story he entitled The Keeper of the Springs. And I'd like to share with you sort of an overview of that short story as we begin today. The setting is in a beautiful old picturesque town that's nestled in a valley among some mountains. And the key feature in this town was a beautiful small river that flowed through. It was crystal clear, cool, mountain spring-fed river. It was kind of the centerpiece of the town. Families and kids played in it, swam in it, did all that, had ducks and all that stuff around it. And so it really made the town really awesome. Well, there was a city council meeting, and they decided they were looking over the budget. Money was tight, and there was a line item there for the keeper of the springs. So they said, well, what is this? And they said, well, that's an old man who lives up in the mountains in a little cabin. And every day he goes out and finds these springs that are feeding our river. And he cleans out around the mouth of the springs and gets the debris out and the leaves and just cleans it out. And they said, well, you know, I don't think we really need that. So we're going to X that. So they took that out of the budget and got word to the old man that his services were not needed anymore. So he stopped. And the changes were kind of unnoticeable at first, but the crystal clear water kind of stopped being so crystal clear. And after a little bit, it actually got rather murky to the point where nobody wanted to swim in it anymore. And then the animals, the ducks and all that left. And then there was a real foul odor that started coming up out of the water. And they met us, oh, what are we going to do about this? This is ruining our town. And they said, well, why don't we kind of reinstitute that old man to be the keeper of the springs again and see what happens? And they said, fine, let's do that. So they put him back in the budget, got word to him, he's back on payroll, and asked him to begin doing his work again. So he did. He began going out every day, finding some of the springs and clearing out around the opening. And well, the changes again were kind of slow, but they began to take effect. Soon the odor of the river kind of went away, and the river started clearing up a little bit, and then the ducks came back. Before long, it was crystal clear again, and the kids were back swimming in the water again. And then Marshall gave his rest of the story. He said, even back then, the keepers of the springs are our mothers. And so I'd like you to think about that for a moment. We think about the challenges that the family faces today. And I will tell you, our culture is kind of murky, isn't it? In fact, it downright stinks. And the attack on the family is certainly taking away the keepers of the springs. We're living in a very confused age. We have a vocabulary today that didn't even exist 15 or 20 years ago. Gender identity. That was not even in the radar. If you would have said to somebody 20 years ago, what do you think about gender identity? They would have said, huh? The LGBTQ+, there'll be more letters added as time goes by, have an agenda that is destroying the very fabric of the family. There is a move by that agenda to get teaching into elementary schools, even as young as kindergarten kids, teaching them about safe sex and teaching them about how to determine if you're a boy or a girl. And so I'm telling you, we live in some really crazy times, and it kind of is all going back to the keepers of the springs. The other day, I was applying for something online, and it came to the part where it asked, you know, what is your sex? It had male, female, other, I don't know, I'm not sure. And it had about 6 or 7 options. And I'm like, man, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And so today is Mother's Day. I would like to give a shout out to moms, but as I'm doing so, it's really a shout out to parents. The church can do so much, but the keepers of the springs are our parents. And so I pray that you would be challenged today by our message. The title is A Shout Out to Mom. I'd like you to find 1 Samuel. We're going to begin reading in chapter 1 in just a moment. 1 Samuel chapter 1. I find it very interesting when you read through the Bible, when God is about to send in a special person, be it Moses, Samson, Jesus Christ, in this case Samuel, he seeks out a mother. Isn't that interesting? And because he knows that these mothers are key in the keepers of the springs. And so as we go back to Israel, there was a huge vacuum at this particular time in Israel's history and leadership. And it always rises and falls with leadership. There was a great priest. He was a man of God. His name was Eli. And he was ministering in a town called Shiloh. That's the central place of worship at this particular time in Israel's history. And so this vacuum, God is now going to show up and do something. Aren't you glad when God shows up and does something? So you have a vacuum in leadership. And so God is about to provide some leadership. And he's going to begin the process of bringing all of Israel back to himself. And so there's this lady. Her name is Hannah. Hannah's married to a guy who has another wife. So he's kind of brain dead, I guess. But anyway, he's got two wives. And so the other wife is able to have children. Hannah is not. She cannot have children. So her rival, so to speak, is kind of giving her a hard time. And on top of that, if in this day and age you were unable to have children, everybody considered you as being cursed of God. And so Hannah is being given a hard time by her rival, and she considers herself cursed. Culture considers her cursed. And so she is the one that God's going to choose to bring in a great champion for himself. So the family has gone to Shiloh. They go there once a year to worship, to make sacrifice. And Hannah is there with her husband, her rival. And that's where we pick up this story. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 9. You got it? It says, after they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. I'll talk about that in a few minutes, what that means. As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, how long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered, no, my Lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I've been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I've been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation. Then Eli answered, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you've made to him. And she said, let your servant find favor in your eyes. Then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. So let me pull out from that section, when we look at Hannah, we look at a keeper of the springs, a mother, that she was a praying woman. She was a praying woman. And so the reason that she is able to be a praying woman is because she had a true and dynamic relationship with God. She was able to pray and pour out her soul in an intimate way to God because she knew God and God knew her. So if you don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you can pray all you want to, but only prayers prayed through Jesus Christ are the ones that become intimate and real and true. And so she was a woman who had a relationship with God. She loved him. She knew him. She knew he was the answer. And she was praying. She was praying with great angst. She was praying in desperation. She was praying out of a broken heart. She was praying with tears. She was praying. And secondly, as she was praying, she did not give up. She just kept praying. And notice she was praying very specifically. She said, God, I want you to give me a son. So she's praying specifically. She is not just saying, bless me. She is saying, God, here's my request. Don't want a daughter, don't want twins, don't want triplets. George, I'm asking you to give me a son. And the old timers would say she prayed it through. As Eli heard her, he made reference and said, may God grant your request. And at that point, God gave her great peace, and she knew that God had heard her prayers, and now she could go her way, and she did so no longer sad. So the keeper of the spring is a praying mother, a praying father, because I want to kind of bring dads into this too. Praying specifically, praying fervently, praying weeping, and praying it through. Now, having said all that, we get to verse 20. And it says, and in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel, for she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. Now, let me just give you some things to consider when we think about this praying woman, a keeper of the springs. Let me tell you, the best thing that you can do for your kids is for you, as a parent, a mother or dad, to have a real and dynamic personal walk with God. And so of all the things that you could teach your kids, how to throw and catch, how to hit, how to do a musical instrument, how to do girl things, whatever you would want to teach your kids, listen, the greatest thing you teach them is to show them by the way that you speak and the way that you live what somebody looks like who has a real, true commitment to Jesus Christ as Lord. They see you make decisions. They know that you're praying. They hear you praying. They know that to you, the greatest reality in your life is Jesus Christ. And when they recognize that the greatest reality in your life is Jesus Christ, that's going to go a long way in bringing them to the same place. Praying. Praying for them. I will tell you, keeper of the springs, praying for the kids. A day should not pass where you're not praying for your kids. Man, we're in a crazy world right now. Your kids have so much access to good stuff on their phone that's incredible. They have so much access to evil stuff on their phone, it's incredible. Peer pressure and culture is coming at them from every angle that you can imagine. And I will tell you, they are dependent upon their parents keeping the spring and praying for them. Now, I will tell you this. There are no guarantees when it comes to our kids. You can be a parent and do things just right, and still your kid goes off into the far country, called a prodigal. In fact, you can oftentimes see in families one child goes one way, one goes the other way. The parents were doing the same with both of them. Sometimes all the kids go away from God. Sometimes none of them go away from God. But if your kids are those that are staying true to the Lord, don't get too smug and think that you're a better parent than somebody else. Because I want to tell you, God, as our Heavenly Father, seems to have a lot of trouble with a lot of His kids. Have you noticed that? He's probably had some problems with you at some time in your life. And so praying for the kids and praying specifically for them. Praying specifically for your kids. And they need to know that you're praying for them. The significance of a name. The name Samuel means heard of God. Every time Samuel heard his name, he was reminded that he was an answer to prayer. And you're keeping the springs clean if your kids don't think they're a burden. They don't think they're an accident. They don't think that they're causing you issues. If your kids know that they are an answer to prayer, I tell you, that puts steel in their bones. Your kids ought to know that you're praying for them out of a true and real relationship you have with Jesus Christ. They need to know you're praying specifically for them. And they need to know that you see them as a gift, God's answer to their prayers. I will tell you, that's helping keep the springs clean. So Hannah was a praying woman. She was a prayer. Parents ought to be praying. Secondly, she is committed. She made that commitment She said, "Lord, you do this, I will give this boy to the Lord all the days of his life. No razor shall ever touch his head." Now, so what she's saying is, "God, I'm going to let you have him when you give him to me. I'm giving him back to you. And I'm going to consecrate him. He's going to know he's been given to you." In the Old Testament, they had something called someone who would take a Nazarite vow. And part of that vow was they would never cut their hair. You remember Samson? He was one who took a Nazarite vow. He never cut his hair. And so when Samuel would say, "Hey, why don't you cut my hair?" They would say, "Well, we can't because you are committed to God. We've made a Nazarite vow out of you." And so she made her commitment that that's what she's going to do. And she followed through. I appreciate people that make commitments, but I really appreciate people who follow through. Because you get down to 1 Samuel 1:26 through 28, it says she has gone back with her family to Shiloh. She's brought the boy Samuel with her. And she said to Eli, "O my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord." That means I've given him over to God. "As long as he lives, I'm giving him to God." And he worshiped the Lord there. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. There are some who think that Samuel may have been as young as 3 years old. And now she's bringing him back to this man of God and saying, "I prayed to God. I said I'd give the boy to God. If he gave me a son, he gave me a son. And now I am giving this son to God," and left him with Eli. How many of you got a three-year-old kid? How many of you have ever had a three-year-old kid? When your kid was 3 years old, would you have given that child up? I would have, from 1.5 to 4. The terrible twos are actually 1.5 to 4. And I'd have taken him back, but then I would have given him back at about age 15 to 23 because the male brain stops working in ages 15 to 23. About age 23, their brains start working again, slowly. But she gave the boy away. She followed through with her commitment. It was an absolutely incredible thing. And so here's the deal. Her primacy was God's will. "God, this is what your will was. And I'm going to follow your will." When I was serving as a trustee for the International Mission Board, we had commitment services, commissioning services for missionaries all along the way. Each time we had a meeting, and that was when these missionaries would be given a charge, they would be appointed, and then they would be heading off to some nation to serve. And they were very powerful worship services, but there was always a group of people who weren't too happy with it and never failed. Guess who it was? It was these missionaries' parents, because their kids are taking their grandkids off, putting them in danger, and blah, 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 blah. How could they do that to us? But here's the deal. Don't you think that being in the will of God is the best place any of your kids could be? Absolutely the best place any of your kids could be. Do you also agree that being in the will of God is the best place you could ever be? And so there she is giving away. I had some people when I first started out in ministry, and they would ask me, "Well, where are you going to go? What are you going to do?" And I said, "Well, I know that God's called me to preach. He wants to be a pastor. I don't have any idea what that means or where that means, where I need to go." He said, "Well, what area of the country you want to serve in?" I said, "It doesn't matter. I'll go wherever God wants me to go." And I really mean that. And so I said yes to Forney even back then, before I knew where Forney, where's that Texas even was. But many of them would tell me, "Well, we're going to serve," and they had a geographical circle. That's where we're going to serve. So what they're doing is saying, "God, I will partially follow you as long as it takes me where I want to go." And every one of those who had that kind of a commitment, they're no longer in ministry. And so give your kids over to God with no strings attached. That's keeping the springs clean. Because as they follow God's will, they're going to end up going to the best they could possibly do in this world. And isn't that what you want for your kids? One day when I was a little kid, we'd been to church, and I have no idea what happened in church that day. It could have been one of those days where the preacher went back to the study and said, "God, I'm through. Nothing's happened here today." I don't know. Could have been one of those days. But that afternoon, I was in the back room, and I was playing with my army men and in the floor, and my mother came in. And I don't know, maybe the passage was from this text. I don't know what it was. But she sat down beside me, and she said, "Jim, I want you to know that today I gave all four of my boys to God. And that includes you." And then I kind of blew her off. "So what?" And she walked out, and I was sitting there stunned. Dude, my mother just gave me to God. What do I do with that? Man, she was keeping the springs. And so I will just tell you, what better thing could you do as a parent than to give your kid to God? Give your kid to God. And that grows out of your own personal commitment to Jesus Christ. Because I will tell you, if you don't have that personal commitment to Christ like that, you're definitely not going to inject that kind of commitment into your kids. And more than likely, they're going to have less regard for God than you have when they get old. So, she followed through with her commitment. She gave her kids to the Lord. Third thing I would tell you about Hannah and about a keeper of the springs, she'll multiply blessings. 1 Samuel 2, 18 through 21 says, "Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy clothed with a linen ephod. And his mother used to make for him a little robe and take it to him each year when she went up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Then Eli would bless Elkanah," that was the dad, "and his wife, and say, 'May the Lord give you children by this woman for the petition she asked of the Lord.' So they will return to their home. Indeed, the Lord visited Hannah, and she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters, and the boy Samuel grew in the presence of the Lord." And so it wasn't just a momentary blessing. Everybody got blessed by Hannah's keeping the springs, by being a woman of prayer, a woman of commitment and following through. Everybody got blessed. Think about the blessing to this guy, Eli. His sons were not so good people. In fact, they were evil men. They were taking advantage of the people. Samuel became like a son to Eli and really ministered to him. So it was a great blessing to Eli. And then it became a blessing to Israel. Samuel became one of the great champions in the history of the nation. When you look at the champions in Israel, you got Moses, you got Elijah, you got Jeremiah, you could put Joshua in there, Daniel. I'm telling you, you put Samuel right there in the midst of it. He became an absolute champion for God. The whole nation got blessed. And we today are still being blessed when we read about his life. She's a keeper of the spring. The blessings multiply. But there was a blessing to Hannah. Can you imagine what she must have felt like when she saw Samuel growing and saw him becoming an incredible leader? Year by year, she'd go back with a new robe for him. Probably astounded at his maturity and his strength. And then as he grew to become the great leader, how she must have felt, saying, "My goodness, what God has done with my son." In days gone past, if God called a young person into ministry, the parents wore that as a badge of honor. Today, parents try to talk them out of it. But it was a great blessing to her to see this man continue to grow. And then what about the blessing to Samuel? What a life he lived. Incredible life. Astounding life. Leading the entire nation back to God. When Samuel came to town, dude, they were so afraid of him. They said, what? Don't do anything bad. Because Samuel could call down hail from heaven and everything else. You better pray God doesn't give me that gift. I'm coming for some of y'all. What a life he lived. It goes back to the keeper of the springs, a mother who gave him to God. And the blessings just seem to multiply. Hannah was a keeper of the springs. May her tribe increase. I want to finish today by telling you about a guy that's sort of a different angle to the same truth. And this man actually became one of my mentors. But he was attending the University of Arkansas and intended to become a lawyer. He was from a very wealthy family, but they did not know and did not love God at all. And so while he was a student at the University of Arkansas, he actually gave his life to Christ. Got involved in some Baptist student ministry there, and then felt God was calling him into the ministry that God wanted him to be a pastor. And so he called his dad and told him, and his dad went ballistic. Said, come here, I want to talk to you as soon as possible. So he went to see his dad, and they lived in a really big house. Took him off into his dad's home study office, and he set him down. He said, son, listen, I love you. However, this is a crazy idea you have. You must not do this. He said, if you'll give up this idea of becoming a preacher, then I will pay everything of your college expenses, your law school expenses. I'll do everything I can to set you up in the law practice. In addition to that, he pulled out a briefcase, opened it. There was $25,000 of cash there. He said, I'll give you this cash, whatever you want. Now that day, that was a small fortune. So the son looked at him and he said, Dad, I'm sorry, but this is what God is wanting me to do. And so the dad fulfilled his threat. The young man left the University of Arkansas, enrolled in a different school, a Christian university. The dad withdrew all support, all connection with him, and left him kind of out there on his own. Well, he got a little church he was pastoring on the weekends. And one Sunday, he was telling his church, a little group, his story about his dad. And he had some guests there, a man and a woman who had just were traveling. They happened to be driving by at church time and they pulled in. And so they were there and heard that. The next week, he got a call. And it was that man who he and his wife had just stopped in that day and heard his story. And the man introduced himself as a man named Howard Johnson. Some of you may think about back in the day, Howard Johnson Motor Inn or hotel chain, whatever that is. So he was that Howard Johnson. And he said, you know, we don't have a son, and we heard your story, and so we're going to step in the place that your dad missed. He said, we're going to pay for all of your education through college, seminary, however far you go. We're also going to provide you unlimited funds to build your personal library so you can buy any books that you like. And said, also, we want to do a college thing for your kids, and we want to pay for your kids' college. And so he became a pastor of a church and grew it to be one of the first mega churches in the Southern Baptist Convention. Became part of my mentor. Because this was a guy who said, in spite of all the pressure I'm getting, what's primary to me is following God's will. I can't tell you, I can't emphasize to you enough how crucial it is for you to be blessed and everybody blessed around you, for you to make God's will primary in your life. And parents, mothers and dads, it's important for us. It's important for us to instill that into our kids. I will tell you that later, that man was able to lead his dad to faith in Jesus Christ. It came full circle. And so we're about to have the final song of praise today. And my challenge is to all the parents, will you step up and be a keeper of the springs? And by that is, will you step up in your commitment to Jesus Christ and to His will for your life as primary? And then will you seek to instill that in your kids? pray for them and encourage them and help them get to the point where God's will is primary in their lives. I'll tell you, our culture's depending on it. And we need to be producing young people who are going out, who are pure and who are bold and who are unashamedly followers of Jesus Christ. And we got to do that starting in our homes. So here's the invitation today. First of all, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, maybe you're not a bad person, I'm not saying you are, but you've never made that commitment to say, I am putting Jesus Christ first in my life, and I'm placing my life in His hands, and I would like for Him to be my Savior and Lord. While we're singing in a moment, I would encourage you to make your way forward to one of our staff and simply tell them, I would like to give my life to Jesus Christ today. I would also say to you parents, maybe your commitment level is not where it needs to be as a personal follower of Christ. You're just kind of going through the motions. Jesus is getting kind of the leftovers, and it's sort of a half-hearted commitment. I'll tell you, kids will see that. More than likely, when they step out in the world, their commitment's going to be less than what they saw in you. Maybe parents today, you need to renew your own personal commitment to Jesus Christ. Maybe today there is parents or grandparents who have a prodigal son, prodigal daughter. They've walked away. I would just tell you, take the Hannah route. Keep praying for them. Pray specifically. You never know when God's going to step into their life. Maybe you want to come pray for a wayward child today. Maybe as a young person today, you would say, you know what? I want to give God my life. I just want to tell God, I'm giving my life to you. That would be an incredible thing. And as always, if you're visiting with us today, thank you for coming. We'd love for you to make First Baptist Forney your home. If you'd like to do that, please come during this song and we'll talk to you about how we can make that happen. If you look at the springs today, the culture, its flow, it's confused, it's murky, has an odor. Let's go back to the springs and let's raise up a generation. Husbands, wives, mothers, and dads who are keepers of the springs. Let's stand together as we worship. And for any of the reasons that I outlined or any other, you need prayer today, feel free to come. And to give your life to Christ, please do come. Commit your kids to God. Come to commit your own life to God. Come to join our church. Come on. Come on now as we worship.